I'm an addict named Nika. I must say I'm nervous, you know, but this is my first time. But I'm comfortable because I have people I know from my hometown. So I'm going to be all right. You know, I think I might end up getting hot. You know, it's funny when Rick came to me and asked me he wanted me to do this topic. He said, "Who am I?" But I looked at my sponsor. I said, "He wants you to do that workshop in Ocean City. Who am I?" She said, "No, you can do it." You know, and I know she wasn't going to have it no other way. But prior to that, she had asked me, we was talking on the phone. She said, "Nika, I need you. Who are you?" You know, she asked me, said, "Nika, who are you?" You know, and I couldn't say nothing. Because at that point in my life, it was just so much going on, and I wasn't sure who I was. You know, and I'm not going to talk long about the drug law or where I come from, but I'm going to just let you, the people that don't know and never heard my story, let them know how I got here. You know, I got in this process in August 1995 through Arlington County Jail. And when I went to jail, I was 24. I was a follower. And I didn't know how I got there, but I knew I was there. You know, the judge and the probation officer said, you know, "We need to keep our eye on you, keep you safe, because we see you don't know how to live." You know, and at that time, my drug of choice was just marijuana, you know, and I would drink and I would smoke marijuana all day, you know, and that was what I loved, you know. And when I was in that jail cell, you know, I think it was September 95. Yeah, I got on my knees on that steel bunk because I wasn't at that point in my life when getting on my knees on the ground. I wasn't there yet, you know. And when I got on my knees on that steel bunk and I prayed to God, I said, "God, if you get me out of this one, I promise I won't come back. You know, I won't look back." You know, and I must say from that point of September 95, I haven't looked back. You know, and it's been a long road, you know. It's been some ups and downs, some bumps and bruises, but I thank God for those ups and downs and bumps and bruises because it has me here today. I'm 44 now, and you know, my journey's been good. My journey's been real good. Like I said, I was a follower. I'm nervous. So if I skip back and forth, I'm sorry, but I will eventually get to who am I today. I'm so grateful to be here. I can't even recall when I first started coming up here, you know, and to be standing here 20 years later behind the podium and sharing my experience with the Lord. I thank God for the process, you know, of where I was then to where I'm going now. I had a baby. You know, I'm going to get to where I am today, but that's real important for me. You know, where I am today is I'm raising a child, a single mother, raising a four-year-old. And when I was pregnant, I wasn't sure. I didn't know. But my sponsor told me I had to tell my home group. And I was at the point right there when I knew, I told her, but I wasn't about to tell nobody else because they eventually see that I had a belly. They'll eventually come out, you know. And it wasn't until I was 5 months that I knew I was pregnant. I was in this relationship with the donor, and it was abusive and verbally abusive, you know, mentally abusive, and he just didn't accept who I was. You know, he had a struggle with who I am. You know, and today, you know, as a direct result of the step work that I've done in my life, you know, and I always talk about this when I share, as a direct result of my time, you know, and where I've been, it took me, I think, 3 or 4 sponsors in 10 years to complete my 4th step. You know, it wasn't until that point in my life, it was July 2012, when I completed, for the first time, my 4th step. And when I completed my 4th step, I was so excited. And as a direct result of completion, it was some pain that motivated me to get there and to complete it. And I thank God for the pain. I embraced the pain, you know, because it got me to the point I wanted to know more about me and why I chose the people that I chose and why I stayed so long and the things I stayed so long in. You know, when I completed it, you know, I made the appointment. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and before I actually completed the 4th step, I was just like, this relationship was so painful because I was at that point in my life, I was ready to give it all. You know, I was emotionally attached. All of me was attached. You know, and it was painful. And I thought we was on the same track. I thought we wanted the same things. The conversations was good. But at the end of the day, somebody asked me, said, Nika, who was doing all the talking? I was doing all the talking. And that wasn't a real relationship. If you doing all the talking, they doing all the listening, what are they contributing to the conversation? I wasn't getting nothing. I wasn't getting anything. You know, and it was so funny. That person had called me at work and said, Nika, you stop communicating, you stop talking. You know, I didn't say, I ain't stop talking, you stop talking. You know, you stop wanting to be a part of, and you know, whatever your part you played in and listening, you stop wanting to listen. You know, and I was tired that I was putting so much in it, and I wasn't getting nothing. You know, and that was at that point in my life, I picked back up that pen and that book, I started writing, because I wanted to find out why, and I was so tired of going through the same thing, and I wasn't getting nothing in return. You know, I was picking these people, and I wasn't getting nothing in return. And as a direct result, you know, I was just at that point in my life where I wanted something more. You know, when I finished the 4th step, I wanted to call the sponsor at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I said, I ain't gonna do that. It's not that important. It's important, but it ain't that important. But the next morning, I was able to let her know I completed. And I felt so good because I finally scratched the surface of just knowing a little bit about me and finding out a little bit about my patterns of why I do the things I do. And it made me hungry to find out, Nika, who are you? Who are you, Nika? You know, and at that point, I was raising my daughter. You know, I had her, she was 1, and that hallway that I was looking down, was so cloudy at that point in my life. You know, I made the decision, I said, all right, no more relationship. I'm just going to focus on me and my daughter. You know, and I was so happy that I did, but then I met someone. You know, I went to this cookout and met someone, and you know, I have my way of flirting indirectly. So I flirted, you know, and ever since then I flirted so much that there was another relationship. But it was a year after that one, a breakup. But and that brings me to this point of where I am today. You know, right here today, I'm in this relationship. I don't even know what it is. Let me be honest. I don't know what it is. I'm in this relationship, something, and I'm not getting anything from it. One more time. I'm at that same spot. I'm giving so much of me, and I'm not getting anything. The people I talk about it to, my sponsor, she's like, Nika, well, why do you care of what this person think of you? You know, this person said to me, You know, you ain't spending enough time with your daughter. If any mother, anybody know raising a child, if you want to hurt someone, yeah, hurt them with their kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said, Nika, you ain't spending enough time with her. And my thing, who are you to tell me why am I spending enough time with her? That hurt. You know, and it's been said so many times, so I had to take a look at it. But then I had to take a sit back and I had to think, Nika, well, you gotta work. You gotta go to work to take care of her, to keep a roof over her head. You gotta do all these things, you know? And it's funny how I talked about, you know, that road down there. A couple years ago it was so cloudy. Today there's some light. And I could see. You know, I thank God for my daughter, because she's pushing me to want more for my life. She's pushing me. I'm at this point in my life, I'm ready to have, I want more. You know, I just gotta let the tears flow, y'all. A couple weeks ago, I was in a house, you know, they had dances going on, you know, and I wanted to just go home. And I would go home, when I went home, I would just be laying in that bed, you know, wanting to do something. I tried on these pants, these shoes. I was like, okay, I could put on the heels, the peep toes. I could do all this and all that. But still, I didn't do anything. You know, I felt like I was so depressed, and I felt like there was this hole in my gut. And that, you know, and that hole that was in my gut, it needs to be filled with something. I thought maybe if I fill it with the relationship, I'll be all right. But the relationship not working anyway. But then when I got to the exact nature, Nika, what's wrong? What are you looking for? What do you want? I need some self-fulfillment for myself. Something's missing, and that's what's missing. You know? And I can't fill that gut, that hole with nobody. It's not taking nothing away from my daughter. I don't love her. You know, I don't want the best for her. I need to do this for me. So today, you know, I could see. It's not as cloudy as it used to be down that road. You know, I got some direction. You know, I got some people in here that are in their element, doing what I want to do. You know, so I've been reaching out to them. You know, letting them know what's been going on with me. You know, and they've been sharing with me, Nika, well, I had to go through the same thing too. You know, I started the process with the paperwork, about the school thing, the financial aid and all that. You know, and I talked to the lady Thursday at the financial aid office. She said, there's a flag on you because when you went to school back in 94, you know, and I told her, she said, well, what happened? I said, I went to school back in 94 because I just witnessed a year ago my best friend and cousin getting killed, and I was in my addiction, you know. And then after I went to classes after that time, I was able to succeed and make passing grades. She said, here the paperwork. This is what you need to do. Fill this out, get this done, and bring it back. You know, and that's easy. You know what I'm saying? Because I talked to some people, and today, you know, and the difference for me today is I'm asking for help. I ain't afraid to ask you for no help today. You know, if you know, if you don't know, hopefully you can help and put me in position. Nika, this is somebody, hold on. This is somebody that can help you. You know what I'm saying? That's what this program is about. We help each other in here. You know, and I am so grateful that I'm in a place where though I'm not alone. So for me today, I'm grateful, you know, to be alive. I'm grateful to be here with you all. And I need to make some decisions. You know, I'm tired of being stuck in a relationship or whatever it is. I ain't getting nothing. It's not benefiting me. You know, and I keep asking myself this question, Nika, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? That's enough out of me. I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you.
And for our next speaker, it would be Pam L. out of D.C.
Hi, my name is Pam and I'm an Abby. Look, I am so nervous. I went to the bathroom. I was bossing Nika around. I said, go sit down there. She said, no, I'm going to sit right here. You know, I'm nervous as I don't know what. But anyway, thank y'all. Thank you for asking me to come and give my express stress and hope on who am I. And I was thinking about, I was thinking about who am I, you know, and I thank God that I came in the program because I really know who I am. You know, all my life, right, they used to say, you know, that little black ass, that little bad ass, that little loud ass, that little, all that negative stuff. And I took on all that. So all that used to be me. And sometimes, you know, on a good day, it's me too. You know, I'm an only child. I'm an only child, and being an only child is a world all by itself. You know, I had imaginary friends as children. I got imaginary friends as an adult. y'all laughing, but I'm serious as shit. You know, all my life I always wanted something else, something that I didn't have. You know. I can't tell you when I first picked up my first drink or drug, alcohol to drugs. I can't tell you when I first picked up my first drug. I always used. It was okay in my house as long as you did it in the house. You know, that was early on. It was always, my mother always had like, and you know, she always had this air about her, like she thought she was a cut above. So, you know, her offspring thought she was a cut above. You know, the truth. I always had two feelings. I was better than you or I was less than you. Wasn't nothing equal to nothing. If you was red, had some long hair, or your father was in your home, you was better than me. But if you was black as I was, had nappies and sheep's behind, and you was less than me. You know, stuff always motivated me, like stuff. Not, you know, nobody really hugged me. They didn't hug me. They didn't tell me I was beautiful. They gave me pretty clothes. They dressed me up. They put me in the little socks with the, I had the pretty bedroom. But I was being molested. I was being, they was tearing my little tail up. And that used to be real painful in the beginning because I remember when I got clean, I went to a rape counselor because I slipped out and said it one day. And that was the first time I had remembered. I never remembered it. It was like it was buried deep down that I didn't see it. But all I know is I can't remember the first time they took my stuff, but I do remember that they always, it was I woke up in the morning, I went to the babysitter's house, and I was being molested. I went over to these people's house and somebody else's door. It was terrible for a child to have to go through that, you know. So by the time I got grown, I had the way I thought about sex, society, everything was like, I mean, it was like people used to say, come on, go to my house. And then they beat me because I was so bad. They used to say, I'm going to beat your little ass. And they used to beat my little ass, you know. But didn't nobody hug me? And I'm continuing to say, didn't nobody tell me that I was beautiful? Didn't nobody tell me that because I fell and, like, those pretty little socks ended up with a hole in them because I'm rough and tough, that it was all right? They was like, look at your little bad ass. And that's all I knew, you know. So by the time I was in high school, I'm going to move all the way there. I was strung the hell out. It was early in the morning. I was 15 years old on Alabama Avenue, copping a Billy on my way to Coolidge. Okay? That was my life. You know, I had to go get me a bag of dope to go to school. So a lot of times I ain't make it to school, but I had this friend. She ain't use, she ain't drink, she ain't do nothing. She used to say, and I used to, after I, you know, I'd be over her house all night, because they lived up on 15 Place. She said, you getting your ass out of here and go to school. So the only reason why I graduated, because she didn't let me stay out there all night. She used to buy me a couple of outfits, some hot outfits, so I could go to school, and some panties. She used to buy the whole thing. She'd say, here, I got something for you. She'll give it to me, and she'll send me on my way. You know, so that's the only reason why I graduated. You know, but when I graduated, the day I walked the stage, I had to go get a bag of dope to go to, and we was in a cab. My mother didn't have a car at the time, and we had to stop. I stopped in Southeast because the dope up in uptown was $40. Southeast was $20. So I had to stop in Southeast to get me a bag of dope and then go to school, you know. And again, I was a young adult. I was young. I was in a lot of pain. I didn't have a whole lot of respect for nothing, for myself, you know. That year I graduated high school, I went down Arthur Capers and I tried crack. And y'all already know, you know, y'all already know. And again, I can't tell you when I first started using, but I do know that when I used, it was easy because I was in so much pain. I never liked who I was. Again, I was, you know, they used to tell me stuff like the emptiest wagon make the loudest noise, meaning I don't have nothing up here because I'm loud and, you know, aggressive and all that. I'm dumb, you know. And I believe that, and sometimes I still believe it. Sometimes when, you know, I say I want to go to school and I fill out all the papers, do all everything, and then don't show up. But I do know how, what I do know is I know how to push other people to go. I know how to tell you, I know what to tell you what to do. You know, I am a good motivator for other folks, but, you know, but anyway, I came in this program. October the 4th, 1989 is my clean date. Thank you. I came in this program and my behavior was the same it was on the street. I was doing the booty. I was fucking, excuse me, baby. I'm sorry. You brought him in here. Excuse me. Okay, you got here for, okay. I was doing that. I was fighting. I was arguing. I was fussing. I was the worst. But all I knew is what I knew. And I brought me with me, so I got what y'all got. But what the women did, and the men, the men too, what they did is they loved me in spite of me. They told me to keep coming back. I remember being up in, you know, we used to be at this place in Pathfinders, right? And it was these two sisters, right? And one of them passed and one of them clean. It was three of them. But two of them that was up there, right, and you know, I was a bully, but I can't fight a lick, okay? So the girls was talking trash. So anyway, I was scared, so I ended up hitting one of them, right? So both of them, I was scared to go outside. They was like, it's time, Pathfinder's closing, that's time for you to go. You know, so I was fighting, I was fucking, and I was fussing. You know, I the bottom line, you know. And I ain't know a step, I was the steps up to Pathfinder's, that's what I was working. But, you know, but what I did is I kept coming back. I kept coming back. I remember I had about 5 years clean before I even looked at a step. Because they always say to some people, you know, I kept believing a lie that I was dumb, that I was stupid. I believed all that stuff, that I was loud. Well, I am loud. But I was, all that negative stuff that they kept feeding me, I believed it, you know. And I had the best sponsor ever. She's still one of my better friends in life right now. And Sheila used to say, girls are going to be all right. Just do this, you know. And she was my higher power. And I did what she said did, and I got better. You know, I remember, and she had friends when she took, look, she had friends, Betty's five, and she's deceased now. But Betty said, you won't do a fourth step before you go down to this club and play cards. Okay, I did the fourth step so I can go to the club where they was drinking liquor and play cards. And everything they told me to do, I did. I ain't stopped having relations with folks. But only because that's all I knew. I just told y'all what they did to me when I was a little girl. So that's all I knew. So that's all I thought I had the best coochie that was on earth. You know, but after a while, that my coochie, it wasn't about my coochie no more. It was about, I was in so much pain in this program at one time that I knew I was going to use, and I was in this turmoil. I'm telling you, it was a situation, and I was being pulled. The people was, other two people was getting help with the situation. People was like, you know, I was just, you know, the one. So Sheila said, well, you better go in here and share and talk and save your life. So I started sharing, and I started getting better. But what I started doing is doing something different, like not acting out on those behaviors, that horse behavior that I talked about that I only knew. So I pulled my panties up, I put some on, and I stopped sleeping around. No, I didn't pretty much stop sleeping around. But what I did is I think I got a boyfriend, and he saved my life. But what I also do is I also start working steps, you know. I started working the principles in my life, meaning, you know, because it's easy for me to get up here and share it. No, it wasn't at first, but now since I'm sharing, it's better. But it was easy for me to raise my hand in a meeting and say, you know, I used to be a whore, you know. But it was the part that was difficult was, it wasn't easy for me to say that I was so fearful not to be one. I don't know how to deal with these feelings other than asking somebody to, like, validate me or buy me a hamburger and get some goodies, you know. But I stopped being that person, and what I started doing was being able to walk in a room or walk it, because Narcotics Anonymous is my life, has been my life for the last 26 years. So when I walk in a room, I can walk in a room with my head up. Yeah, some people hold me hostage to that shit that happened a long time ago, but they need to, because they don't have no life of their own. But basically, what I do is I go to meetings. I remember I wouldn't even sponsor women, because I was ashamed and so guilty, I didn't think I had nothing to offer. I have to tell women now, no, thank you, baby, I'm gonna help you find a sponsor, because I got to make sure I take care of myself now. You know, when I tell you that my high pile has... it's like I am a piece of clay that Narcotics Anonymous and the women and the men that kind of like put it together to make it work, you know, to make it a statue or a sculpture, you know. But I'm saying it's like it's an inside job. It ain't even like it's some. It's in the way I live. I remember being able to be at one time I was at a bus stop, and this was a clean time. I had about 10 years clean. I ended up in a fight. I don't know how I ended up in that fight with the ladies. It was about a six. I don't even know what it was about, but I know we was fighting on the damn, and I got on the bus and went on about my business. My knees were scratched up and stuff, you know. But that's how I lived on a regular basis, you know, with clean time. But I kept coming. I can't tell you, that probably was my last fight, you know. But when I came in here, and the convention is about service, I got right in service, even with all the turmoil in here. Sheila said, oh, we can really do that. I need you to go over here and handle this out. I remember my last day using, somebody said, the next day, I was high that day. They said, pick up them ashtrays, and next week I need you to bring a speaker. I got in service. I mean, no matter what, I did what the people said. I mean, I did what you all told me to do. I came in here, I was a mother of one. She was a little girl running all around, acting all crazy. No, she wasn't. She was a nice little girl. But I was running around, acting all crazy. But what happened was, God blessed me with two other kids, an older one than her and a younger one than her, only because y'all loved me. So I found some ways that I can love others. So who I am was, the reason why I got clean, I need to say this and go all the way back there, is I was a crackhead, and my mother told me, I just didn't want my mother to raise my child. I didn't want nobody to raise me. I wanted to be my daughter's first teacher. That's the reason why I got clean. Even though over the years it has changed, trust me, because she done disappointed me many days, you know, only because she's human, you know. But what happened was, like, and right now I got three daughters. I got the baddest daughters on the earth. Like, I got the best spouse on the earth. I got the best home group on the earth. I got the best friends on the earth. My shit is the best, okay? But but the thing is, I never even thought about, like, being positive like this. I can't tell you what page 24 say in the basic text, but I know I might be your only basic text you see. And I make mistakes. But I'm the bomb. You know, and I've never been able to say that about myself other than my coochie was the bomb. You know, the bullshit. You know, but what I do is, like, ladies I sponsor, again, I'm their first teacher. I show them. With my clean time, I go to meetings at least 3-4 days a week. Mm-hmm. I have a home group. I have a sponsor. I call my sponsor. I write. Mm-hmm. Every month, what I do, who I am now, is we got a little group and we write. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I meet with my sponsor and we go over my step work. You know, I handle my business because that's what the program, it's a 12-step program. They said buy it to the whole 12 steps. You know, but it's a whole bunch of other stuff and concepts. But what I don't do most days is I don't use, you know. No matter what happens, they told me if my ass fall off, pick it up and take it to a meeting. I still believe in that, you know. So who I am right now, I am, I feel a lot better, but I feel like I'm cut open and I'm I done revealed who I am to y'all. So please be gentle with me, you know, because I might can't handle it, you know what I mean. But what I know is if you give yourself a chance, I promise you, you'll be as good as this. Thanks. Yeah.